Right, good morning, everybody. Today is Friday. Yay, it's Friday, August 26th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. It is a balmy 77 degrees and quite sunny here in upstate New York today. Maybe we'll dry out a little bit. It was extremely humid yesterday. So we have something going on today. We got about a half hour. We're going to crank through the show. And then we have a special guest coming on the second half hour. So I will surprise you with that one. Where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show CubeSats, Plasma Bombing the Sky, Moon Mining, and Earth 2.0, as well as the Internet of Things. We looked at all these crazy little CubeSat 10 by 10 by 10 centimeter, cheap, relatively speaking, like $750,000, I think we discovered, satellites that they are launching all over the upper atmosphere to do things like, oh, I don't know, plasma bomb, take readings, stick up in the space station, and release them. I don't know, there were like three or four different experiments that we already read about. NASA had offered to drop off little mini satellites for anyone who wanted to release them. We were kind of questioning what they were looking for, especially as we find out that the FAA just approved a private company permission to go start mining the moon. Very disturbing to me. Not only have we messed up this planet, but we're working on messing up our moon. And then we're going to continue on to other planets. We found out they found an Earth 2.0. They saw it was big news yesterday afternoon. Now it's all over. Earth 2.0, 4 light years away. We got Stephen Hawking and Mark Zuckerberg and Yuri, I don't remember his last name, the Russian billionaire, who were already planning on sending little mini satellite spaceship things with origami sails on them over to Alpha Centauri to go check things out. Well, they're all going to partner now with the European Space Agency, who came out with their announcement that they had discovered an Earth-like body. And they're going to try and step that up a little bit. So, guys, the elite are going to get off this planet. In the meantime, we found out they are genetically modifying without abandon, or maybe it's with abandon, on this rock. There are no controls anywhere. We found out, I really would love somebody to contact me and let me know firsthand that I'm incorrect in digging into stories and digging into research where it shows that there really isn't much in the way of a bio-level 4 going on in any of these laboratories at the universities or at the hospitals or underground bunkers, wherever else they're doing this mad science. Yet, every time we turn around, we hear them say, well, this could be the new bio-weapon. You know, we have to worry about do-it-yourself gene editing in mommy's garage. Haven't we been saying that now for about a year? In the beginning, it was jokingly, and probably more than a year. In the beginning, it was jokingly, but it's not joking anymore. It's like 2 minutes to midnight. DIY bioterror in every corner of the globe, especially as we have Facebook, Google, and CubeSat companies launching connectivity far and wide so every nook and cranny of this planet can be connected to the Internet of Things. It's not a joke anymore. All right, we're going to hit a bunch of stories here. I had some lined up already as a progression from yesterday for the whole week, but you know how it goes every day. There's new stories. Now, by the way, anyone who catches the UCY feed or the Before the First Cup feed, yes, the let's put it this way. Twitter discontinued RSS feeding out back, about a year or two ago. So my Twitter feed stopped about a year or two ago, and I found a service that somebody had written that converts my Twitter feed, which comes directly from my Facebook feed, which is where I post everything, to RSS. It appears that that service must be having some difficulty. They were up on Monday, then they were back down again. So I've asked Paul, when he gets some time, he has as much time as I do, to write me a new one. But I did find a couple examples from people who ran into the same sorts of issues I did, so I sent those to him. But for anyone who wants to get my news feed in the meantime, there's the news feed for this show in particular. You don't need a Facebook account to go to Twitter. It's twitter.com/Jewel, the letter E, and Stan, and then the number one, Julie Stan 1. That is the Before the First Cup feed. If you want to get the UCY feed, which includes the Before the First Cup plus all the other pages, not all of them, but most of them, that is twitter.com/UCYTV. And I'll try, I don't know, maybe this weekend. I need to get some clippers and get all this crazy greenery chopped down all over. My house is getting engulfed this weekend. But if we get some time, we'll try and get a new Twitter to RSS feed working. Okay, now that's out of the way. Let's kick this off because we got about 22 minutes. And then we're going to have special guest, Verstine Henry. Whoops, I gave it away. Verstine from Truth or Talk Radio. Remember Truth or Talk? April and Verstine. Yes, that Verstine. Verstine's going to join us this morning, and we're going to talk about some crazy mad science gum, man. We're going to talk about our new album. We're going to talk about our new life for Friday afternoon. And I actually think maybe we'll start that as a segment. I thought about this while I was laying, determining what time I was getting out of bed this morning. I was like, oh, I got stuff I got to do. I got to roll. But I was thinking that maybe we start doing a segment on Fridays, but I didn't want to run out too quickly. So maybe we'll do it like every other Friday where we try and bring on a host from UCY, current or past, or maybe even future, and the last half of Friday afternoon and just do it like, hey, hang out with me. You know, I don't get to talk to most of my hosts too often. I have Skype. You guys can message me, but I'm pretty busy too. And I can't always be chatting away while I'm trying to cut 17 shows. But anyway, I was thinking, let me know what you think. I think maybe Friday afternoons, every other week maybe, I will start bringing on, because Brandon used to come on when he was off. We've had Clint on once. I don't get too many guests. And Zori and Lady Pitbull and JJ. But I think maybe we'll start doing a UCY host instead of ghost. Host of UCY past, present, or future segment. Anyway, okay, so that's at the bottom of the hour. But until then, you're stuck with me in diabolical laughter. All right, so we titled the show yesterday, CubeSats, Plasma Bombing the Sky, Moon Mining, Earth 2.0, and the Internet of Things. One of the things that really kind of perplexed me was this plasma bombing of the upper atmosphere, and we looked at a bunch of things about the upper atmosphere, and one of the things that I ran across yesterday, and I don't want to dig too deeply into this, but this is going to open the door for future episodes, is when we have a plasma storm, just thinking about this, plasma storms come from the sun, highly charged particles. We'll get blasted in the solar winds. And I know that there have been some concerns about the magnetosphere weakening, and they pulled that tool offline, the simulator, quite a few years back. So I really think part of the issue is they're not really sure what's going on up there. There are also stories about that tether incident. The tether incident that I mentioned yesterday, and I did link to that in the notes from the original guy who yanked it off the airwaves from NASA. That was that Martin Stubbs from Canada. And I found the whole thing, like the whole 16 minutes 16-minute sequence. Sorry, I dropped my stuff. And it's definitely worth watching, but I forgot that there was another component to that. One of the stories I had read about a while back, and I saw that there was stuff out there, but I didn't take it into it again. Okay, this isn't, I said this is going to be for a whole nother show at some point. But there were some questions about when they launched that highly electrified tether, which, by the way, I don't know, I read more about that whole program. I thought it was doing the space elevator, and I'm still thinking that that was something they were preparing for with that, because that was what I was reading about at the time when I first ran across this tether incident. But this was, they actually had a satellite up there, and they were trying to push it out of the belly, I guess, of the space shuttle, the STS mission, via a tether, and the satellite had already been up there. So I'm not really sure what the whole program was about, but one of the stories that came out after the tether broke and after the research and after everything else was that it potentially did some damage to the Van Allen radiation belt. And I had read even in one of my science magazines that, yes, not only had they damaged the Van Allen radiation belt, which, oh, how convenient, that pesky Van Allen radiation belt that was preventing us from getting to the moon, really, wink. But when they damaged the Van Allen radiation belt, a third belt, so there's one, two, and then there was some third belt, ended up forming in its place. I don't know. You know, and that's the thing, there really aren't any public tools. You know, over the last few years, all these tools that used to be out there on the internet, so yahoos like me could go out and be like citizen scientists, have all been taken down. Really surprised that that SOHO, NASA SOHO Solar Observation Observatory, I don't remember what the H stands for, Heliospheric Observatory is still out there on the UCY website. You will see my Earth and Sky Tool tab, and it is there. SOHO's in the middle, and I just saw, too, a long-lost Stereo B, which was the second orbiting satellite that they were getting data from. They were doing this whole dual thing around the sun. It's been offline for the last couple of years. It totally disappeared. It came back online, and they found it, so might get some cooler information than what we've been getting there, but that does like real-time imaging and stats on the sun. I found some weird stuff on SOHO. You can do the SOHO Movie Maker and go back in time at different visible wavelengths of light and observe the sun. There are some weird objects at times up there. Not only all around the sun, but going across in front of the sun, in front of the camera, zooming into the sun. Like, I've just seen some really crazy stuff on that over the last few years. Anyway, oh my God, did I get off topic? Long story short, there is a reason to be looking at plasma bombing the sky. Now, they said that it was to increase radio reception. Well, guys, I have this capability at times to be able to just bloodhound nose myself in to what's really going on. And I don't know, the stories just come through my feed, and all of a sudden when I find the right one, I'm like, ding, that's it. I found it. Fizz.org, I will almost guarantee you this is what plasma bombing the sky is all about. A nanoscale wireless communication system via plasmonic antennas. Now, did they not say to, quote, increase radio reception, unquote? Yes, they did. So plasmonic antennas would fall under the range of radio signals utilizing an antenna. And their plasmonic antennas. The pursuit of next generation technologies places a premium I'm producing increased speed and efficiency with components built at scales small enough to function on a computer chip. But one of the barriers to advances in on-chip communications is the size of the electromagnetic waves at radio and microwave frequencies, which from the backbone, or which form the backbone of modern wireless technology. The relatively large wave handcuffs further miniaturization, and scientists now are trying to surpass these limitations and are exploring the potential of optical conveyance. Now wait, we already read about optical transfers using what? Wi-Fi light from LEDs through the air. They are exploring the potential of optical conveyance that exploits the properties of much smaller wavelengths, such those at where, oh, the tetrahertz frequency, ding, 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 ding. Now, we haven't gotten to the tetrahertz yet, and I had a whole show lined up back about a month or two ago. I'll have to get all that research back together again, but what was really interesting is that 5G FCC application, the same agency that just approved our private space company going into space for the final Yahoo. I mean, there was Department of State and DOD and all those others, but they got the final approval from the FAA and the FCC. Well, now we have these little nanoscale plasmonic antennas that they want to utilize. They're going to utilize tetrahertz frequencies, some of the same frequencies that were approved for Google, as well as infrared and visible light frequencies. How insane is that? Nano-sized wireless communications utilizing visible light, infrared, which is our heat, and tetrahertz in the atmosphere. A team of researchers at Boston College has developed the first nanoscale wireless communication system that operates at visible wavelengths using antennas that send and receive surface plasmons with an unprecedented degree of control, the team reports in the latest edition of the journal Nature Scientific Report. Furthermore, the device affords an in-plane configuration, a prize class 2 array of information transmission, and a recovery in a single path, according to the study. These findings mark an important first step toward nanoscale version and visible frequency equivalent of existing wireless communication systems, according to researchers. Such on-the-chip systems could be used for high-speed communication, high-efficiency plasmonic waveguiding. Ding. Whatever that means. Sure sounds like we're going to be waveguiding plasmas that we've released into the atmosphere. I don't know. Guys, I'm not an optics scientist or a biologist or a geneticist. I'm just me. Some girl worked 25 years in technology and had a penchant for science and archaeology, among other things. And this is just beyond suspicious to me. Nano-sized wireless using light and heat and tetrahertz to send information. This is like the Internet of Things for small things such as cells, I think. The device achieves communication across several wavelengths and tests using near-field scanning optical microscopy, according to lead author Juan M. Merlo. Surface plasmons are the oscillations of electrons coupled to the interface of an electromagnetic field and a metal. And among their unique abilities, surface plasmons can combine energy on an interface by fitting it into spaces smaller than the waves themselves. Researchers are now trying to exploit these sub-wavelength capabilities of surface plasmons, and they have developed metallic structures, including plasmonic antennas. And remember, too, we read not too long ago about them being able to 3D print antennas in anything now. There was a story about mobile technology that said it was going to allow them to print antennas on anything in preparation for this coming of wearables and the Internet of Things. So I'm sure that at a nanoscale, utilizing DNA origami and turning DNA into electronics, we've read about that. You know, I would think that this is probably right in line with that. Probably part of some of the same projects. And, you know, we keep finding, we had like 6 stories yesterday in regards to those CubeSats. And they all were related. It was incredible. And, guys, I'm running out of time here. So, anyway, we are moving to nano-sized antennas. We've developed a device where plasmonic antennas communicate with each other with photons. So they are using light, transmitting between them. So this is Li-Fi, but on a nano scale, and this is done with efficiency, with energy loss reduced by 50% between one antenna and the next, which is a significant enhancement over comparable architectures. So I could guarantee you that this is in preparation for this new upper orbit space grid of the Internet of Things that they were talking about building yesterday. Well, I guess we have only time for one more story, and we will continue. We'll start with the Woolly Mammoth on Monday. Space tour guide. Don't worry, the robots aren't going to take all the jobs. Space tour guide is just one of the awesome new jobs you could apply for in 2025. Duh, duh, duh. So better make sure I tell my kid, you want to be a space tour guide. And I did find it, the Playboy Mansion. They were planning on building that space Playboy Mansion since Hef sold it to his neighbor, the one on Earth. I heard it was pretty outdated anyway, like 70s wallpaper and gross. Anyway, with Earth orbit likely to be an affordable luxury travel by the mid-2020s. And that is with all this commercialization of space. So, you know, we were questioning why there was not a Moon Disneyland. Well, it's coming, people. It is predicted a new travel industry will emerge. Tours will show people the glory of sunrise from space, plus some interesting items of space junk that have accumulated over the past 60 years. We are just slobby people. I don't know if you looked up that KMZ of space satellites and debris around Earth, but it is a polluted, very crowded place. It's quite embarrassing. If you want to know the honest to God truth, I would be embarrassed if we had people from somewhere else looking in. They would say, what a bunch of slobs those people are. They don't care about that beautiful blue dot they have. We don't. I mean, we do, but most of these corporations don't, or the ones in charge don't, and most of these brain-dead people that walk around bumping into walls playing Pokemon Go don't. They would much rather be in their VR goggles and attached to the machine. Get on a spaceship and go float around in low Earth orbit. Somebody needs to be in charge of these new space tours and explain to the space travelers what is going on. So welcome to the era of our space tour guide. And I read too, there were applications that went like crazy back a few years ago. There was a space mining, an asteroid mining company that was hiring asteroid miners. And applications were going pretty quickly for that. Go up in a spaceship, do some training, and go mine an asteroid for precious resources. They also, the Mars mission, they had gotten hundreds of thousands of applicants. I don't know if that's still going to happen. It was supposed to be privately funded. And they were going to do a reality TV show from Mars. But it was a one-way trip, so you couldn't go back. But they still were overwhelmed with applicants. Well, space tour guides are just one of several new jobs predicted to exist by 2025. And like they said, remember, don't worry if the robots are going to take all the jobs, because they'll create all kinds of new ones. Yeah, like the space tour guide. Oh, my God. That is just one of several new jobs predicted to exist by 2025, according to the Tomorrow's Job report released this month by consultants called the Future Laboratory, who teamed up with Microsoft. Oh, yeah, Microsoft's just going to groom it. Now we better get that Common Core curriculum. Remember they said education isn't going to keep up here with the new jobs. They better start doing space tourist training as part of Common Core. This report aims to bring some clarity for career planners. It says many of today's school students work in jobs that do not exist yet. So along with space tour guides, what other new jobs does this report predict could be on offer by 2025? Well, how about a virtual habitat designer? Right! You spend bazillions of hours playing video games, sitting in the world of Minecraft, building virtual worlds. You got yourself a PhD in virtual world construction at 12 years old. Oh, we could use you, Jenny. These are VR designers, and they will become an integral member of product design teams in the new creation of the VR experiences running on cheaper and more powerful equipment. There's also an ethical technology advocate. Maybe I need to be one of those. Much has been written about robots replacing humans, but without a doubt, some categories of process-driven jobs will be automated. But what are the jobs that robots and artificial intelligence will create? Well, robotics engineers, AI specialists, and maintenance workers will all be in demand. I told you, you better get your robot repair degree, because that's what they're going to be needing in China. There's the digital cultural commentator. This is evolving from text-based to being visual. It's already happening as Pinterest and Instagram are growing faster than text-based platforms such as Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, make pretty pictures. Then there's the freelance biohacker who wants to splice a dice. And Pigmine just had a video last night about this woman in Australia who has taken the chip. And she's not only using it to unlock doors, but she's also using it to pay for things. It's also an Internet of Things data creative, as well as many other things. And you know what? I'm going to queue up that Future Laboratory Microsoft report. And we're going to look at that as well on Monday. So, guys, the future of Tomorrowland looks almost as fantastical as Wernher von Braun and Disney World. Walt Disney himself had envisioned it back in the 1950s. I don't know if you've ever looked up Tomorrowland on maybe it's Disney Tomorrowland on YouTube. You will find some of their future Mission to Mars videos. All right, so what we are going to do here, I'm going to queue up Burstein. I got to get all my stuff connected. So let me find my call. And the first thing we got to do is make sure. Now, you guys know I don't do guests too often, so please excuse me. But we'll get better at it. We'll get better. Let's just find Jules. I got to connect this one, and we're going to listen. We're going to play an interlude, I decided. I hope this works. Because you guys know, like, every single time I try Skype, just about, it runs me into issues. But we're going to try. Hopefully there's nothing airing on my desktop. Hey, I don't hear anything. All right, let's play a musical interlude. I'm going to read you. Let's learn a little more about Verstein. All right, born in Los Angeles, California, Verstein pursued acting before realizing that she was incrementally becoming something that she wasn't and feeling trapped and scared for her soul. She signed up for her own personal vision quest. Ah, la, eat, pray, love, and moved to Taiwan for 2 years to teach English and learn Mandarin Chinese. She's currently continuing the journey and invite you along with this sharing of all she has learned so far. Verstein has a style that is eccentric in a mix of soul, Latin, and jazz and folk that tackles the status quo and questions social truths through honest introspection. Verstein is releasing 3 debut singles. We're going to listen to one. This one's called Breakaway. There's also All Alone Here and Authority, and her debut album will be released in 2017. And this is one of our own. Verstein Henry, Breakaway.
Little boxes, they are closing and sends in the sky from a lyrical lines. And the clock says, this is how you survive, 9 to 5 for the rest of your life. Little toxins, they are turning our dreams into nuts that are now hard as rocks. And the clock says that you better be king for the green that is made by machine. But I lied, absolutely uncouth, to be honest and swallow the truth. The devil herself loves to kiss me and I cry, and she cuts just like a knife, but I'm having the time of my life. I'm not with taking the blame. The devil herself will she kiss me and I cried, cause she cuts just like a knife, but I'm having the time of my life. I'm not. of the past I'll transcend to decide to be happy again.
Let me introduce to you Verstine Henry.
Hi, Jules. How are you?
Good. Good morning. What an awesome tune. Like, such a bittersweet. I really love it. I love the synthesizer, too. I was cranking that up here. So how's it been going? Verstine Henry of former FKA Truth or Talk Radio. We miss you guys.
I know, I miss you too. We miss April, and I miss doing the show. I talk to her about once a week, and we talk about how we miss doing the show. My God. You know, but we both have other things that we're doing. We still have our website up so that you can listen to the archives, and we still have our Facebook page up, so we post stuff still, but it's not the same, you know. But she left to take care. She's trying to heal her autistic son, and she's also homeschooling her children. She has three kids, so I mean, she's like superwoman over there.
Uh-huh.
And you know, she doesn't have much time. And then you know, I couldn't do this, you know, the show by myself. And plus, I decided to do my music, and I'm also a teacher, so.
How's that going? Is school starting here soon, I would imagine?
Well, I teach online. Oh. I'm not in the brainwashing system of children anymore. So, that was one thing I wanted to get away from was indoctrinating kids when I kind of realized what was going on. You know, indoctrinating them to be test takers and cogs in the machine and not really thinking for themselves and being critical thinkers. And I'm from California, so they had the Common Core. I don't know if you know about the Common Core.
We were just talking about Common Core, this new study about some of the new jobs that you could apply for in 2025, and it was a study sponsored by Microsoft. Right. And one of them was you could become a space tourist.
Oh my God.
You know, there was a story a few days back that had talked about how, you know, with the coming of automation and all of the different job markets, the education system is not keeping up by teaching children to work in factories, which pretty much is what they've been doing for the last 50 or 100 years, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I hate Bill Gates.
Bill Gates is my nemesis. One of them.
I mean, and it's so sad because I lived in Taiwan for 2 years, and when I would go to schools, like just, you know, walking around the cities or whatever, and I would see schools, it would be like they'd have pictures of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and basically, you know, all the evil geniuses, quote unquote, you know, up on their wall with quotes, and it's sad because a lot of people they look up to these people because they have a lot of money, and you know, they have in their minds, if I'm focused, if I work hard, then I can be rich and successful like these men, without really knowing how they get their money and you know what it takes to get that rich, and it's just really devastating. To me, it was devastating to me to look at that. So,
and that's a dangling carrot. I mean, they had us all chasing after that dangling carrot, and you're never going to get there. And if you do, it's a poison dangling carrot.
Yeah, I mean, and I did like Bill Gates at a time before I realized what he was really about. You know, I was like, oh, this guy, he seems like, you know, he's generous. He's giving his money away, you know, to children in Africa, and oh wow, he's a humanitarian and a philanthropist, and he's such a nice guy, you know, he's not spending his money on drugs, and you know, I totally bought into that for a while, and until I started And until I kind of quote unquote woke up, and then I saw where he was putting his money into and why he was doing it. And it was really disturbing. And it's kind of heartbreaking too, because you think this guy's like great, and he's, you know, you want to believe that, you know, the people that have that much money that are really generous. And I think that there are some people that are. I'm not going to totally, you know, I'm not one of these people that's bitter at all rich people. I don't believe in that. You know, I think people, for the most part, people are people, but I don't think Bill Gates is a person.
No, I don't either. And I'll tell you, you know, Beck, being in the tech industry for 25 years, we worshiped that man. He was the one that was, you know, bringing the world of technology to the rest of the world and making the tech geeks not geeks anymore. You know, we were the people who had the knowledge that was going to run the machine. And there was one day, I remember the day when we realized that Bill Gates had turned, and I felt very devastated. I felt very cheated, like this man had fooled us, and it was a lot like the last two elections ago, kind of the same thing, where I really felt I believed in somebody. For the first time in my life, I actually went out and put a vote out there feeling like I was making the right decision and not choosing between the lesser of two evils. And again, I feel like all of a sudden there was a sheep's costume that was yanked off to find out that there is a horrifying, horrifying agenda going on behind this person being in charge and putting their stamp on the world. And it's pretty depressing.
So were you talking about voting for Obama?
Yeah, the election. Yeah. And I mean, now look what we're faced with, like this absolute insane circus.
I just laugh now. I mean, I've been following it somewhat, but this is the first election where I haven't really put any effort into watching anybody. I'll see sound clips here and there, but I feel actually really relieved that I'm not voting this election. Before, you know, my mom works at the polls. I have some cousins that work at the polls. My grandmother, when she was alive, she was a hard, hardcore Clinton supporter. Like, she went to his inauguration, and, you know, I wonder if if she was alive and if she knew the stuff that, she, you know, if she knew what we know about the Clintons, then I don't think she definitely, be supporting them. But I mean, like, you know, my family really believes in voting, and I think when Obama, I mean, I voted for Obama, and now I will say this, it's sad to say, but in retrospect, I really think I voted for him because I wanted a black president, you know, and I know that's like, you know, very petty maybe in some people's eyes, but I think that I'm looking, you know, when I voted for him, I looked at Obama. He's this handsome, really hot, charismatic guy who's black. And then I guess really we had like, who was it?
George Bush.
George Bush?
Yeah. And, I mean, talk about a juxtaposition.
The day's never coming. There's not going to be a press conference. I've already realized that. And that's fine, you know, because now I have more self-esteem and more faith in myself and people. I don't put my faith in one person to bring about change. I think that's, you know, that's just not... It's not plausible to me.
Yeah, well, speaking about the cure for cancer, by the way, so right in the middle of our show, never before happened to me in 4 years of doing radio here at UCY, Skype decided to do an update all by itself on its own on the server in the middle of the show.
What?
Yeah.
You know what we tell April and I, we call that the veil. We jokingly call that the veil when you're getting to some really serious information that, like, something happens like that, you know?
Yeah, you were explaining why you did vote for Obama and all the reasons. So that was interesting. Well, we're connected again. But getting back to the cures for cancer, yeah, you know, that was kind of my awakening as well, is when literally, like, I felt like... a spouse that had been cheated upon I realized the Obama lie was such a huge, massive lie. And it was the birth certificate that did that to me.
Oh, really?
Seeing, well, you know, because they had posted it on the whitehouse.gov website. And I had downloaded it. This was when the questions first started coming out about its validity. But my default application for image editing is Photoshop. And when I opened it in Photoshop, I saw all the layers. I don't know if you ever saw that, but there is definitely a question in my mind after all the years that I had done professional graphics, and you zoom in on his mom's signature, it's cut in half. And half of it is written as if somebody had written it in pen, it had bled into the paper, and then it was scanned in, like you would assume a birth certificate would look, that was taken, you know, from original records. But the other half with her last name, I could zoom in to 300, 400%, and it was still crispy without any type of bleed. And the only way you get something like that is when it's digital. And so I was like, whoa, what? I wouldn't even listen to anyone. My dad kept saying, don't vote for him, Jewel, don't vote for him. I would not listen. I was still in that waving my hands in the air, so happy that we had this man who might lead us out of the dark shadows.
He was like a prince. People looked at him like a prince, you know. White and black, you know.
Exactly.
And, there are other races too. I don't mean to cut you guys out. Everybody else, humans, we all looked at him as this like prince that was going to save us.
Now, well, even other countries, if you remember, like the whole world was behind it because George Bush had been so horrible.
Just going back to when I lived in Taiwan, and I might bring this up a lot because it changed my life profoundly living there, but I was on a beach and these Taiwanese guys came up to me. They didn't speak English, but all they said, they're like, hi. They're like, Obama, Obama. And they were like smiling and giving me the thumbs up. But they were, I know they were saying that because they saw I was black and they were trying to communicate with me, but you know.
But they were excited, too.
They were excited and happy, for sure. You know, and I know they had, you know, goodwill and, you know. I think at that time, though, I figured out he was a fraud. So, I didn't tell him that. I couldn't.
He smiled.
We hugged and we, like, you know, took some pictures together and stuff. I knew, you know, but it was just kind of funny, you know. But, you know, the thing that you're talking about with Photoshop, I wouldn't have been able to detect that because I don't do graphics. I think my best friend Narciso, who did the artwork for my website, and he works in Photoshop and he does art and graphic design. He probably would have been able to detect it because sometimes I send him stuff and I'm like, is this Photoshop? Can you tell? And he can totally tell. He has like a cyborg eye. Stuff out like that, you know, and I'm just like, and then he'll explain to me, you know, why it's fake or why it's not. And then I'm like, oh, I get it, you know, but had, you know, with not having that training, the average person, you know, would not been able to pick that out. But I think that, you know, when in our quote unquote awakening process, it's different angle. You have to get to people through different angles. So you, it was a birth certificate. Me, it was actually because, you know, I have an affinity for children and I hate war. And I think most people do, but you know, that was the thing that really got me. It was, the semantics using the kinetic actions and seeing what was actually going on in Libya and then, looking at Gaddafi and seeing that, you know, he wasn't the monster that he was being made out to be. And then looking at the patterns of how they always do this. They always, you know, it's like a clockwork, you know, like there's a person in a country. They say, oh, that person is, you know, attacking their own people. We must go and liberate them. They end up bombing the country, you know, and it's like, you know, with all the sophisticated technology that we have, you know, can't you just, you know, we have drones and all this computer technology that can zoom in and be really specific. You can't just pinpoint the person and take them out if that's the case. You have to go bomb the whole country and bomb all these innocent people, you know?
And now it's gotten beyond that. I mean, we have autonomous, in the 8 years that Obama's been president, we have autonomous drones, autonomous nanobots and all this crazy stuff they're working on, nanobots in your blood. And I was going to say with your simple cures for cancer. Did you see now, though, the dangling carrot is come get this immunotherapy, you know, this new type of vaccine in Buffalo. They're calling it a cancer vaccine at Roswell Park.
Vaccines cause cancer.
Yeah.
It's so backwards.
I know. And not only that, but these new quote-unquote vaccines are immunotherapy. They're actually going in and manipulating DNA real-time in living creatures.
You know, with the research I've done, I'm convinced now that vaccines alter our genetic structure.
They do. Absolutely.
But there are, you know, and it's just like, it's so weird, you know. I've definitely lost friends over my beliefs, and which is fine because it was a really good opportunity to find out who my real friends are. And some people don't agree with me, but they still, you know, accept me as a person. And, you know, I do have friends too that we disagree, but we, you know, they can still be associated with me, and it's not a big deal. And I'm not always trying to push my beliefs on them, and they don't do the same, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I never, ever thought I'd be on this side of the argument. You know, when I was younger, I heard that there were people that didn't vaccinate their children. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I was like, why in their mind would they want to do that? But whatever. Like, I never, you know, call them out as being like horrible people or, you know, like heretics or anything.
But it was a personal choice.
Yeah, it was a personal choice. And I think what's really got people really worked up is this whole psyop about like herd immunity.
Right.
So now it's turning people against each other to the point where they can't even talk about it in a conversation. So if you even question vaccines when you bring it up, people just descend upon you like the plague itself. And it's just like, it's unbelievable. I work for Lyft a while ago, and I'm driving, and I'm this couple, really nice couple. They had a cute little baby. Everything was going fine. And then I found out the wife was like, she worked in special ed, and I was like, oh, I was a special ed long-term sub too, and I worked there, blah, blah, and we were talking about, and then so, of course, like, vaccines came up, and I was like, yeah, you know, my cousin, you know, my best friend, and then I was like, and you know, when I was a special ed teacher, I would hear the parents talk about that too before this even happened, you know, personally to me, but it just kind of went over my head, and then they were like, I wasn't arguing with them, I wasn't, you know, trying to push anything on them, but they were, like, livid. They were like, we need to get out.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you if they asked you to pull over.
Yeah, they did. And we were almost to the airport.
You must have the plague.
Yeah, I don't know if they thought I was going to, like, kidnap them and brainwash them, but there's some people that are just so programmed, you know, and now... I know if I add a new Facebook friend, you know, I'm like, well, this is the test. They're going to see my posts, and either they're still going to be okay with that, or they're going to have the guts to come up to me and ask me why I believe what I believe, or they're just not going to have anything to do with me.
Well, and, Christine, I hate to do this, but I think we're almost out of time.
I'm going to leave you no matter what you say. I bet you never, never thought it would end this way. I'm finally gonna be free. I learned that I'm the product of a system. I know that I'm the victim of my rage. Well, on the count of three, I'm gonna bury this disease. I'm gonna snap my chains and break out of this.
Go to Verstein's website at VersteinHenry.com.
Never thought shrews could be upstage. Well, on the count of four, I'm gonna walk right out the door. I'm gonna snatch a book and rip out every page. Shelter, but now that I'm on my own, I never cry, 'cause nothing could.
make sure you stick around. It is Friday night. All kinds of great radio and great radio this weekend. We'll catch up with you soon, Burstein. Take care.